Hey, healthcare friends, do you dread doing your notes every day? Do you feel like you can never get ahead of charting? If you're shaking your head yes, keep listening. Freed AI is a medical scribe on a mission to free clinicians everywhere. Freed AI listens, transcribes, and writes medical documentation for you, written in your style and ready the moment the visit is over. All you have to do is give it to your patient. Just imagine leaving the office at the same time as your last patient. Freed is HIPAA compliant, secure, and takes less than 30 seconds to learn. Artificial intelligence cannot replace you, but it can do the administrative work that no human should be subjected to. Get back to doing what you love, helping your patients, and let Freed AI do the rest. Welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast, everybody. Today, I'm going to cover some SSRI drug interactions. So, there's plenty to pull from. I've got some specifics on specific SSRIs that have some interactions, as well as kind of some general interactions I wanted to cover. So, we're going to go through that here. So, number one, the biggest thing that comes up in practice regarding SSRIs and serotonergic agents is the risk for serotonin syndrome. Now, serotonin syndrome, it's a very rare situation. You can get hyperthermia. You can get some elevations in cardiac function, such as tachycardia, for example. So this is a very, very significant drug interaction risk. But again, it's not incredibly common. But I think it is important to pay attention to. So SSRIs can cause this on their own, obviously, but we can increase the risk of this happening by adding other medications to it. So I've got a list of drugs that have serotonergic activity that you definitely need to look out for and pay attention to. So linezolid is one that definitely comes to mind. It is an antibiotic for infection, most commonly used for MRSA, maybe used for VRE as well. And this drug has MAOI activity, and it is recommended to avoid the use of linezolid with SSRIs. I also want to say MAOIs themselves, so these are older antidepressant type agents. In clinical practice, I don't see them used very often at all. But if you do have a patient on an MAOI, take that risk for serotonin syndrome seriously. It definitely can happen, and it is a contraindication to using MAOIs with SSRIs. It's recommended to discontinue an SSRI at least 2 weeks before starting an MAOI. So we really want kind of that total clearance of the drug from the body before we initiate an MAOI, or at least that's what's recommended. With that said, it's important to understand some of the kinetics of the SSRIs. And a drug like fluoxetine, you may want that washout period to be even longer. Fluoxetine's got a really long half-life in the class of the SSRIs there. All right, so let's talk about some other medications in our first drug interaction with SSRIs. So drugs that have serotonergic activity that aren't in the SSRI category. So obviously you've got other antidepressants like SNRIs, TCAs, tramadol, triptans are migraine medications that can have some serotonergic activity and may increase kind of that cumulative risk of serotonin syndrome. Buspirone has some mild to moderate serotonergic activity. It's an anxiety medication. Some stimulants may enhance serotonergic activity. Dextromethorphan is a commonly used cough suppressant that can cause some issues potentially, or cause some cumulative serotonergic issues. And then an herbal supplement type medication, St. John's wort as well. So again, not an all extensive list, but I wanted to highlight some of the ones that I have seen come up in practice. All right, let's move on and talk a little bit about QTC prolongation. So citalopram, escitalopram are the highest risk agents within the SSRI class. And the drug interaction that I've seen most common is with omeprazole and or esomeprazole. So those are Prilosec and Nexium. These drugs inhibit CYP2C19, which can ultimately increase the concentration of citalopram, and to a lesser extent, probably escitalopram. So citalopram actually has dose limitations as patients get older. No more than 20 milligrams is recommended with citalopram. And of course, if they're on a PPI, we also want to recognize that that's going to increase the concentration of that drug. And we may put a little more emphasis on that even in those patients. So definitely a common drug interaction I've seen in my geriatric patients for sure. Omeprazole and citalopram, that's definitely a good one to remember. Third drug interaction I wanted to mention, SSRIs will flag on drug interaction screens as far as antiplatelet activity. So essentially, there is definitely at least a theoretical risk of increasing the chances for bleeding. That risk may increase as we use drugs that have antiplatelet or anticoagulant activity. So, you know, aspirin, clopidogrel, anticoagulants like apixaban, warfarin, NSAIDs have antiplatelet activity as well. So these drugs in combination with an SSRI may increase that risk for bleeding. So is it an absolute contraindication? You know, absolutely not. I see these drugs definitely used together quite frequently. But there are some questions that you should at least consider when considering this drug interaction. So, you know, are both drugs necessary? What are the dosages that we're on? Are we on multiple medications that can increase the bleed risk? What are relevant labs? So what is their hemoglobin? What are their platelets? Are those looking okay? Are they reporting bruising and bleeding? So monitoring the clinical signs and symptoms, really, really important. Length of time, have they been on these medications? You know, have they been on baby aspirin and, you know, sertraline 25 milligrams for 20 years and there's never been an issue? Then I'm probably less likely to be concerned about that drug interaction. And then, of course, medical history. Does a patient have bleeding history? Do they have, you know, peptic ulcer disease with GI bleeding risk and that sort of thing? So those are some questions that I definitely look into and ask when I'm considering this antiplatelet type drug interaction. All right, number four, paroxetine inhibits CYP2D6 as well as fluoxetine. So again, Prozac and Paxil are the brand names there. So this inhibition of CYP2D6 can increase the concentrations of numerous medications. So aripiprazole is an antipsychotic, sometimes used in depression augmentation. Atomoxetine, a medication used in ADHD. Metoclopramide is a drug used for gastroparesis. Concentrations of this can increase and obviously increase that risk for movement type adverse effects. Risperidone, another antipsychotic where concentrations can be increased. So lots of meds, just threw out a few of the common ones I've seen in practice that can have their concentrations increased. Important to pay attention to toxicity risk there. Now, there is one other interaction, and I'll call this number five, and that is because paroxetine and fluoxetine inhibit CYP2D6. So tamoxifen is a prodrug, and its effectiveness ultimately can be reduced. So this drug is activated by CYP2D6, and if we're blocking that action of CYP2D6 with paroxetine or fluoxetine, that can ultimately reduce the effectiveness of tamoxifen. So tamoxifen being an agent obviously used for breast cancer, very, very important drug interaction there. All right, number six, let's talk fluvoxamine. This is a very, very important medication. If you ever have a patient on fluvoxamine, brand name Luvox, you've got to run a drug interaction screen. So number six here is CYP1A2 inhibition that fluvoxamine has. Clozapine is a good example of a drug that is broken down by CYP1A2. So by inhibiting CYP1A2, we can potentially increase the risk for clozapine toxicity. Another action fluvoxamine has, number seven would be the number I'm on for drug interactions here, CYP2C9. That can inhibit, with inhibiting CYP2C9, that can increase warfarin concentration. So we need to monitor that INR, monitor for bleed risk with that medication. And then number eight, I wanted to mention CYP2C19 and CYP3A4. So CYP3A4 specifically, we can increase a medication like carbamazepine. That is a medication used in bipolar disorder, seizure disorder, sometimes used for trigeminal neuralgia, but we can increase the concentrations of this drug when we use fluvoxamine in combination with it. CYP2C19, our other one I wanted to mention, is our number eight drug interaction in combination with CYP3A4 inhibition. Phenytoin, so another seizure medication that has a narrow therapeutic index window, so kind of a tight balance between therapeutic dosages and toxic dosages. But anyway, fluvoxamine can increase the concentrations of phenytoin, so something you definitely need to monitor closely. Again, highly recommend if you've got a patient on fluvoxamine to run a drug interaction screen prior to starting new medications and also in reviewing a patient's medication list. All right, the last two. We've got number nine. Probably not as significant, but I did want to mention it. So sertraline is partly broken down by CYP3A4. So if you've got a CYP3A4 inducer, that's going to lower concentrations potentially of sertraline. And if you've got CYP3A4 inhibitor on board, that's going to potentially raise concentrations of sertraline. Now, again, I mentioned the clinical significance of this, probably not as great as some of the other interactions I've mentioned previously, but I think it is important to pay attention to. So reason it's not as clinically significant is because sertraline is broken down by a bunch of different enzymes. So ultimately, the drug can typically use an alternative pathway. But I think it is important to note that if you notice some clinical differences, maybe a patient's depression getting better or worse, depending on if we're using an inducer or an inhibitor, that's certainly something to look out for, as well as signs and symptoms of toxicity if you're using a CYP3A4 inhibitor. All right, number 10 I wanted to mention. You will see bupropion occasionally used in combination with the SSRIs, and bupropion inhibits CYP2D6. So paroxetine, fluoxetine, which is broken down significantly by CYP2D6, those concentrations can significantly go up if we add bupropion to a patient who's already taking these medications. So paying attention for signs and symptoms of toxicity is definitely a really, really important thing to do here. All right, well, I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. If you want that free PDF on the top 200 drugs, go to reallifepharmacology.com. All it's going to take is an email for you to get access to that. And then we also get you info on when we've got new podcasts available as well. Also support meded101.com/store. If you're taking any pharmacist board certification exams, if you're looking for study materials for NAPLEX and BCPS, don't hesitate to go check out meded101.com/store. We've helped thousands of pharmacists pass their board exams and help them prepare for that as well. So go support the sponsor there. Leave us a rating review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. We greatly appreciate that. It helps us grow the podcast. And, of course, share us with friends, colleagues, anyone who may benefit from more pharmacology education. If you want to track me down or got suggestions, comments, check me out at mededucation101@gmail.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn as well. Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP. Thank you all so much for listening. Take care, and hope you have a great rest of your day.